Greetings again, everyone. My name is Leona Abraham Brando, original founder of New Vision Organization, Inc., and host for the Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Today we have on with us once again Laura Wetzel, who will be sharing more of her knowledge and experience with the penal system. We will be listening to Laura speak more on the issues of the things that she went through while incarcerated and on other issues of interest in the penal system. And Laura, are you on with us?
Yes, I am, and thank you for having me on again.
Well, thank you for being on with us. Laura, would you like to speak a little bit about some of the things that you were talking about these things the last week when we were on, and we didn't get a chance to hear everything that you had to say, so I'd like to have you pick up where you left off or on any issue that you would like to be talking about.
Yes, I would like to talk about, I think it's great that they're doing prison reform and letting people out and talking about the mass incarceration on CNN tomorrow night. But why they're letting people out that were wrongfully convicted or doing too much time, I think also the issue needs to be addressed about what goes on inside of federal prison and state prisons as well, the abuse that the inmates suffer, including myself. I want to speak again on Federal Medical Center Carswell in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, it's a medical center. It's admin for the maximum security inmates. They have a compound where it's non-medical people, and it's a psychiatric prison as well. Now, they're talking about federal dollars and people that shouldn't be incarcerated, and I feel that they have a hospice center there. They have women that other inmates have to change their diapers, put them in the Hoya to bathe them. They're on life support, respirators, and I'm just wondering why these people are still incarcerated and they can't reoffend. There's a lot of money that goes into that, and there's a lot of abuse. No inmate should really be having to take care of another inmate, but a lot of times that is what happened. If it wouldn't be for inmates putting people in wheelchairs, taking them to medical, going to unit team members and that cared and showing your peer, you know, covered in blood or screaming and hollering in pain, there's a lot of medical neglect that goes on and medical abuse. A lot of people think that when you're incarcerated and you have issue, the prison is just going to hurry up and jump on it and get you medical attention, and that it just does not happen. Speaking with my own self, I've had a lot of procedures and surgery, but they have left me almost to the point where I almost died. When you go out, when you have an issue, you have to go to medical several times and get your assigned physician assistant to pay attention to you. And then after that, they have to get you an appointment with your chronic care doctor, and then they have to do a referral for a specialist. That has to go in front of the board, and then the board can say yes or no if you need surgery. They'll send you out to a specialist, and then when the specialist will recommend surgery, then you go back to the prison, and they'll say, oh, well, we don't have to adhere to what the specialist said. So
I'm glad you said that, Laura, real quickly, because that's happening with an inmate now, a prisoner now. He finally got the surgery that he needed desperately after 2 years of pain, being in pain. And the doctor recommended that he be allowed to purchase supportive footwear from an accredited outside vendor because the prison shoes were contributing to the problem. And when the doctor from the hospital prescribed that or recommended that, the prison itself refused to do it. And now they are saying that they want him to see their own doctor. They want him to buy the shoes directly from the prison. So they're making money off of these prisoners, and I think that's probably why they won't adhere to the doctor's requests. But I don't want to interrupt you, so I'll let you go on. But I had to say that because it's happening to prisoners, and the medical issues is a big deal, and this is needing to be addressed as well. with this prison reform.
Yes, I can't stress enough, like, I needed my gallbladder and gallstones taken out. Well, they let it go. I got all the way down to 180 pounds. People didn't recognize me. The doctors kept saying, the specialist, she needs the surgery. They put it off and put it off. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't drink water. I couldn't do anything. I had patches all over my face. And every time I would go see the specialist, one time he actually said, you have to be admitted right now. You're going to die. You're going to rupture. You're going to die. He called the prison, and the prison said, no, bring her back to the prison. So they let it go, and they let it go. And they can do that. They'll tell you in a heartbeat, we don't have to listen to the specialist. And so the specialist, when you go to him, they'll say, I don't know why we have a contract with the prison, and after it's up, I'm not doing this anymore because I'm tired of seeing you inmates come, and we recommend surgery, and the prison will say, no. I had a lot of peers who died, and their families just do not know that they could have been saved, or it was simple, just simple neglect. All you had to do was, you know, give the proper medicine. I take 31 medications right now. I have over 20 active medical conditions. My days are filled with specialists. I have seen everything from the vascular surgeon, from my aneurysm, because I was beat by the officers. I have pancreatic masses that I cannot biopsy because of the aneurysm. I mean, I could go on and on. But my peers who are still in there who don't have a voice or who are scared, because virtually when you write them up or you try to call your family and let them know or you try to get the media inside, they're coming for you and they're going to retaliate. They're going to take your stuff. Commissary is outrageous. One bar of soap can be $2. I mean, it's outrageous. So here you are in the federal system working for 12 cents an hour, and they want you to pay restitution on your case. They want you to pay court costs. You got to do all this, but yet you got to buy soap, deodorant, and everything, and you cannot do it. So that's where the drugs come into play, you know, and you get a hold of an officer who's, you know, just too friendly or needs money, and they're bringing in drugs or bringing in alcohol. Drugs come in the mail. No prison should have a drug problem where you have to take people to the methadone clinic because they're strung out on morphine or strung out on drugs or K2 or Suboxone. Prison reform needs to happen, and I believe that if it wouldn't have been for Kim Kardashian going to the president and getting Alice Johnson freed, I don't think this would be going on right now. I'm very glad and grateful that it is going on. And while we're trying to free inmates from federal prison right now, they need to look at tons of inmates in state prison who were wrongfully convicted that are now getting out. You still have hundreds of them in there that need to come out. You have people doing an astronomical amount of time that don't need to be. And yes, they are locking up a lot of minorities and things like that, but it needs to be looked at. You did your crime, you know, you're doing your time, you come back out into society, and like nobody wants to give you a chance. You can't get an apartment, you can't get a job. The places that are supposed to hire you don't want to hire you. I had a housing coupon, and nobody would give me a chance. They would say, oh, we only go back 7 years, but yet they went back 14 years and held my charge against me. And basically they told me, you will live in a bad part of town for a year. Well, that's unacceptable to me. I shouldn't have to do my time, be rehabilitated, and come out and have to go right back into a drug-infested neighborhood because nobody wants to adhere to the HUD policies or to the housing policies. So I'm grateful that they're bringing awareness, but hey, let's get these cameras inside of state and federal prison. You know, let's get CNN and Fox News and everybody talking to the inmates that have been released and sharing their stories, there needs to be a whole panel of inmates to go to Congress and say, hey, look, this is what happened in state prison. This is what happened in federal prison. Whatever it takes, we need to get there. We need to do it together on the outside, and we need to bring awareness to, hey, these wardens, lieutenants, associate wardens, the medical departments, they need to be held accountable. I did a crime. I admitted to my crime, and I was sentenced to do time. I was not sentenced for medical neglect, abuse, officer beating, solitary confinement, getting lied on, trying to do write-ups. And when you write them up, they want to come for you, you know, and jump on you and take your stuff. My privileges were locked across the board for like 6 years. I had no communication with the outside. I couldn't use my phone. They didn't want to send my mail. I had to beg them for stamps. It's just crazy. And I think anybody who's listening right now, you know, we need to go to the governor. We need to go to the state capitol. We need to just all have a voice and say, hey, I got a loved one in state prison, and they said they're having a problem and can't get medical attention. Or, hey, I got a loved one even on death row that's being abused because they're on death row. I mean, lots of us, are able to be – there's hundreds of thousands of people incarcerated that can be rehabilitated. Now, there might be some crimes where you can't be rehabilitated on an individual basis, but you don't need to look at the system as a whole. You have these sentencing guidelines that are outrageous. First-time offenders are getting 20, 30, and 40 years and have never been in trouble a day in their life. There should be no ghost dope. I mean, it's just incredible the money that they make. The federal system makes $69 billion a year off of us, and we're living like we're under the bridge in a town. You know, the food is unrecognizable. You have roaches and mice droppings and spiders and insects, not only in your food, but biting your skin, and you're getting infected from other inmates who need to be quarantined, but they no longer quarantine because there's too many of them that need to be quarantined. I mean, everything needs to be, and if it takes Hollywood to step up and say, hey, let's get something done, I believe that's great. I believe what Kim Kardashian did and continues to do is a great thing. A man came out of prison, couldn't get housing, went back, and when he comes back out, she committed to saying that she's going to pay his rent for the next 5 years. I believe that's great. I'm trying to get awareness out. My church is on board. We're trying to help out and do whatever we can and whatever it takes to try to help people coming out of the system. And then they promise you, hey, you're a felon. You can get a grant and you can start a business and you can do this. But when you try to access it, they'll say, oh, well, we don't have any money. Or, oh, no, you can't do it. Well, why not? And then they want to know why people want to resort back to old behavior. They can't get housing. They can't get a job. They're expected to pay their fines right away. It's just really, really needs to be. I want to take this all the way to Congress, to special counsel. That is my goal, to get there and to explain everything that is going on. And I have a lot of friends that went to state prison as well who could speak on this. I mean, you have men killing other men in prison, and you have women killing other women in prison, and or guards killing the inmates. And it just seems like, oh, okay, you know, it's just a body. It's like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that we're United States citizens, or, you know, it just doesn't matter. In the Constitution, it clearly says we value human life, but yet you want to lock us away, you want to torture us like we're a third world country. Trump has done a lot for prison reform, but everything that's focused on prison reform is focused on bringing the people out. Well, what about when you go up in there? I mean, I had to fight for survival There was times when I didn't think I was going to make it out. There was times when literally I was like near death, and I was a little bit different, you know. I pressed on and I kept on, and the more they would come at me and fight me, the stronger, you know, I would get. And a lot of people aren't able to do that. I accessed my faith, and that helped a great deal. But you had officers killing themselves. You got peers killing themselves. But yet Washington will say, oh, we're doing suicide prevention. But it just, it really needs to be looked at. It really does. We're just doing a whole lot of time that is totally unnecessary. And then the programs and the classes that they say they have, oh, well, that's like null and void half the time. Half the time the women can't get in, or they don't have anybody to teach the class. The men have a lot of programs that the women don't have. They promised you that the more you program, you know, the more time you get off your sentence, but it just doesn't happen like that. If they don't like you and they don't want you out, the unit team will not do your paperwork to get out, and that's what happened with me. I kept being shipped from prison to prison to prison, and each time I'd get there, they would say, we don't have to let you out, and we're not going to. And it, the prison just should not have a say-so with that. They really should not.
You know, I agree with you, Laura. And one of the things I want to say is it's not their family, so they could care less. I can't understand how anyone can have that kind of heart to want to punish someone. They don't know. They don't know the whole situation. Everything is not in just black and white. There are always some in-between stories, and people do not, they do not even care. Now, the media, again, I keep stressing that, too, that the media needs to go in. The media needs to get involved. They are so quick to judge these prisoners that they hear these expert witnesses talk about how do these people become experts when they don't even go into the prisons, when they don't even know the people that they're talking about or judging. I want to say one thing. We started late today, and we're not going to be able to talk as much as about these things as we want to, but I will, again, bring you back if you're willing to come back next Saturday at the same time, and we can do another series on this, because it's so imperative that this information does get out and that the media does get involved. They have to. Too many people are losing their hope. Too many people are committing suicide. And the people that get the funding to run these programs always seem to be out of funding and not able to help in these areas. And that I can't understand.
Yeah, I really had no understanding of that either. Or I didn't understand how the people that regulate the prison can come inside to do inspection, watching mice run across the floor, and seeing toilets not working, or seeing what we're eating in food service and past the prison. I didn't understand. It's called ACA accreditation. The prison has 500 standards that they need to comply with. Well, no prison can comply with that, but they would pass them anyway. It's all about the money that they get. The money that they get to rehabilitate us does not go to us. The staff are buying $1,200 furniture, $500 chairs every year, you know, their own refrigerators and microwaves. And here we are trying to get to a program or a class, and we can't get it because the department spent all the money on themselves. And that shouldn't be as well. But I'm going to come on as much as you will have me and continue to talk about this and bring awareness to everybody. And I'm glad that I'm able to be a voice, and I'm glad that in prison I was able to be a light not only to my peers but to staff as well. There was a lot of good staff in there, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of good ones that cared, and the good ones were the ones that always left. They always would quit because they couldn't take the abuse. And they tell you, hey, Wetzel, I'm leaving because of the abuse.
Exactly.
So I appreciated that. But, yes, I'm willing to come on as much as you would have me and talk about this issue, and I hope that who's ever listening or going to listen, that you all try to have a voice and help as well, because I don't know the proper statistic, but everybody has either a family member incarcerated or know somebody that is incarcerated. And lots
okay,
of times
Laura,
families,
one more time.
You,
can you give them a contact number for you and the want to contact you?
Yes, my phone number is area code 785-213-4374. And you can
okay.
contact me at Gmail at laura.wetzel@gmail.com.
Okay, we are off the air now. Thank you so much for being on with us. And again, we will see you, talk with you again next Saturday, the same time at 6 o'clock.
Thank you for having me. You have a good evening.
Thank you for being on with us, Laura. I really appreciate what you're speaking about because it's very important to get it out there.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Bye-bye.